Podcast.
The Savior.
The Savior.
Podcast. The Savior has arrived.
We're reminded, actually, brothers, of the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, in that he repeated many times in his sermons. He said, "I am leaving among you two weighty things, the Book of God and my family members who are my progeny. As long as you will hold fast to them, you will not go astray, and they will not separate from each other until they reach me at the reservoir, Kawthar." So, like you said, brother Muhammad, Fatima, peace be upon her, represents the Prophet, peace be upon her, his progeny, and she's included in the Ahlul Bayt. And I mean, like you said, the merits are uncountable, and we learn like genuine altruism from her. Subhanallah, I mean, people look back and see what happened to her, the oppression that happened to her, and they realize that something is wrong with this ummah. Basically, Abu Bakr and Omar destroyed the credibility of both of these weighty things. They degraded the progeny of the Prophet in the public's eyes. People saw that, all the verses of the Quran that mentions the Prophet and the traditions of the Prophet that mention the virtues of Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them all, they had less weight in the eyes of the first two Khalifas than many, ordinary companions of the Prophet. There's a tradition where even Abu Bakr, he says, I wish I had not searched for Fatima's house and had not sent men to harass her, though it would have caused the war, for house would have continued to be used as a shelter. And there's Sunni references, History of Yaqubi, version 2, pages 115 and 116. So they also, by oppressing her and her family, they destroyed the sanctity of the and the supremacy of the Quran, making it subservient to the ruler's expediencies. A system was established that the caliph's words could change or abrogate clear rules of the Quran. So they deprived the Ummah, the Muslim nation, of the guidance of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, the two things that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said would safeguard you from going astray. And that's why Fatima, peace be upon her, was so upset. She was extremely angry with these two people. The 280 things, the Ahlul Bayt and the Quran, explained about the inheritance, the jurisprudence, and the evidence. And this was corrupted. And even Bukhari Muslim said, verily Abu Bakr refused to give anything to Fatima. So she was angry with him about this matter. And she forsook him and did not talk with him till her death. So, I mean, we highly regard the Prophet, peace be upon him, his progeny, but we don't regard his sayings. I mean, Brother Muhammad, you mentioned, like, whoever hurts me, hurts Fatima, hurts me. And so, I mean, just looking back at history and uncovering these, these atrocities, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to say that not only that, but even when it comes to the details of how she was oppressed, the thing that we're like facing, like those who follow Ahlul Bayt and revere Fatima so much, they're facing the tide of like a lot of like, for example, those who are not Shia Sunnis, they would often want to weaken the narrations and the historical narratives of that Fatima was offended or attacked by the second one, who is Ibn al-Khattab. So, in terms of when we go to, like, for example, because of the chain of narrators, the narrators who, passed on this tradition that actually occurred to Allah in terms of oppression, the narrators are, like, when looking at the biographical, that is a trustworthy narrator. We can prove that through Sunni scholars, not Shia, Sunni scholars. So the narrations and the historical narratives that are tied to the oppression against Fatima Zahra is not Shia. Like, because a lot of people say that, oh, it's Shia traditions and it's just something to throw away. Yeah, I mean, it's not true. And Abu Bakr and Omar, they have nothing to do with it. No, they have something to do with that. I mean, for someone ignorant to say, that this never happened and there is no oppression done to Fatima Zahra, well, I mean, why are your traditions speaking so loudly? So should we just, like, you know, just
indeed
let them speak? Or, I mean, it's just so clear, and it's crystal clear that there has been oppression done to Fatima. But now, the specific tradition, like in the book of Abu Bakr ibn Abu Shayba, and he's someone that lived 235 after Hijrah, in that book it mentions that Umar ibn Khattab was holding a torch and he was next to the house of Fatima Zahra and threatening her and demanding the allegiance from Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. So imagine this this scene. Like, just imagine it. Now, if we, like, in the Western world, what would they consider someone to, like, hold a torch next to, next to the house of a Muslim woman who's living inside, wearing her hijab, and she's pregnant, and someone outside of the house is holding a torch and wants to force someone to come out.
Right.
So, just to picture that scene is just, like, it's grotesque. And it's
so grotesque.
Yeah, it's just something like, it just tells you about the individual. Like, is that individual someone who consider righteous? Can we consider that person to be, he's like such a person that deserves so much attention in terms of, like, his good deeds, or
right.
Is it someone that we, because it, that's the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Podcast.
The Savior.
The Savior.
Podcast. The Savior has arrived.